So we are beginning the piece on Asher Karas es Avrohom. Okay, in Hoidu, right, we talk about the bris, Asher Karas es Avrohom, that he made a pact with Avrohom. So says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, Mahut Kritat Brit, the essence of making a pact, you know, cutting a pact with someone, making a bris with someone, is sheshnei bnei adam o shnei amim shematzu atma matimim ze leze, two people or two nations that found themselves to be suitable to each other, koltim brit, they draw a pact between each other, leimor, saying, meaning shetamid the bris, right, the pact that is drawn between two people or two nations, is to state that their relationship with each other, the way they relate to each other, should remain with that same shlemus, with that same level of perfection and wholesomeness as at the time when they cut the bris. Hainu, meaning shebris ahavosam lo tipasek leolam, that the pact of their love should never ever cease. Afil imrot ha'atid yichayvu hafsakazu, even if the occurrences of the future will obligate such a pause, such a cessation. Meaning people understand that, you know, when you're in the, you might be excited, you find yourselves suitable, attached to each other, but you realize that you not necessarily will always be that way. So you make a pact that no matter what's going to happen in the future, you are going to treat each other based on the way you feel about each other now.
Why would anyone do that?
Well, that's really what any pact is, right? Because otherwise, if you take the UN pact, I don't know, or nations, like, right, they're basically saying, like, even though I don't really want to get involved right now, maybe I would get involved in your war, but I might not want to get involved in that war because it might be worth me, but I'm obligating myself to put my neck on the line on your behalf based on the fact, well, in the case of the UN and those cases, usually because it's not necessarily based on the real love of each other, it's more based on the utilitarian need. It's just worthwhile for everyone involved. But when we're dealing with a real bris, with a bris that's really stemming from love, it's the realization that things sometimes happen in the future that can rock the boat, and you are making sure that nevertheless you are bound to each other. You know, we find, I'll talk about it after, but the pasuk calls, right, refers to the man and his wife, the wife eshet britecha, the wife of your pact, and the mefarshim, the radak, the malbim, everyone over there, and it's the second parak of Malachi. Everyone over there explains that it means the woman that you married. When you marry a woman, so you are entering into a bris with her, you are entering into a pact with her, and that obligates both sides. Right, so the idea is that even though we know that relationships can hit sometimes rocky times, but you're still going to be, you're obligated to each other to work things out and to treat each other one way or the other the same way that you now feel about each other. That's the concept of a bris. So he says, "Zeu koicha shel bris." That's the, what's that?
Marriage can be terminated, and that's, secondly, one would want the pact to keep it going as long as one has belief that it's just a temporary blip which can be worked out.
Yeah, listen, the idea that marriage can be terminated, that's what, we'll talk about that as well, but that's an undoing of the brit. Right, that's undoing of the bris, which is a disaster, right? The Mizbech is Meirid Mois, right? When a person divorces his first wife, at least, so the Mizbech cries over that, and it's obviously a very, very last option. We'll get back maybe to that aspect of this at the end of the piece. But in general, this is what a bris, a pact, is about. Like, if, in other words, otherwise you didn't need to make a bris. You didn't need to make a pact, right? If you're always going to be like you feel about each other now, then why do you have to obligate the other? You're there anyway. So the bris itself, right, making this pact between you is really a statement of the recognition that you're not necessarily down the line. And even then, you're committed to each other. There's a commitment that we're gonna still stay together. Okay. So it says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, "Zeh koicha shel bris." That's the power of bris. V'zoi ha-mashma'uta shel bris shekar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avraham ben Abisarim. And that is the mashmos, the significance of the bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu drew with Avraham by the bris ben Abisarim. Avraham omnam he'emin b'Hashem v'yachshaveh lo tzedaka. Right, Avraham, it says, he believed in Hashem, he trusted in Hashem, and he considered it for him a tzedakah. However, he still had concerns. Ulam Avraham dag ledorot habayim. Avraham Avinu still worried about future generations. Tzetzei tzetzav, the children of his children, you know, down the line, generations down the line, he was still concerned. She'ulai lo yagiu lepiskat emunah hazo. Maybe they will not reach the height of this emuna that Avraham felt. V'lezot sha'al, and therefore he asked Hashem, in the famous question, "Bameh edaki erashena?" How will I know, as the Pasuk says, how will I know that I will inherit it? How will I know that I will get Eretz Yisrael? How will, right? Which was part of the bris ben Abisarim. Amar Avraham, v'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Avraham said, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what he's meaning to say with this question. Ribbono shel Olam, Shema chas v'shalom Yisrael chaitim lefanecha. Maybe chas v'shalom there will come a time where the Jewish people will sin before you. V'ata osem l'kedor ha-mabol or kedor ha-flaga v'chulei. This is the Gemara Megillah. And you'll do for them the same way you did to the generation of the mabol, the generation of the ha-flaga. Right? And then it's all gone. Amalafanav, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said before him, no, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, and then Avraham says, Tinech, because he said you'll bring karbanos, and the karbanos will always bring them kapara, so that it will never reach, they'll never get there. So Avraham says, Amalafanav, he says before their Baruch Hu, Tinech, Bizmasha Beis HaMikdash Kayim, okay, that helps when there's a standing Beis HaMikdash. Bizmasha Ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Mate Aleim, what's going to still ensure that a love of yours, right? And that even in the time where there's no Beis HaMikdash, so we know the Gemara says over there that when the Klal Yisrael is going to read the Karbanos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be male. It's going to consider it as if they're actually bringing the Karbanos. So says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, She'ela zu ba'a tshuva shel krisas habris. On this question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Avraham asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can I be sure that I will really inherit Eretz Yisrael? The answer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, right, Bo'a tshuva shel krisas habris. That, it was on that backdrop that then the bris ben Abisarim takes place, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, ties the knot with Avraham through the bris ben Abisarim. Shemashmuta, whose meaning really is, Ahavtocha shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a promise of Hashem, Sheyichsoy levonov, Yisha'er yachso levanav, Yisha'er tamid, that the yachas, the relationship of Hashem to his children, will always remain like it was at the time of the krisas habris, when obviously Avraham and HaKadosh Baruch Hu were in this very deep, intimate love relationship. Behtem, that's what he says, Behtem, it will be suitable, it will be just like lemidat gadluto shel Avraham Avinu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat Klal Yisrael with the same greatness, with the same level of love as was suitable to the godless of Avraham Avinu, despite the fact that they might have gone down, and certainly did. We're talking from our perspective already of history, right? Avraham was concerned, he saw it coming, that there's going to be a Yerida Sadiris, and we know. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is committed to Klal Yisrael because of the bris ben Abisarim. Mikan muvana shel bris avos shelaitama. Right? If you remember, the Chazal are mechalik between zchus avos and bris avos. The Gemara says zchus avos tama. Right? The Tosis says over there, right, the zchus avos, the merit of the avos is finished. It's gone, depleted. There is no more merits in the box. We have all the stuff about the avos. Bris avos leitama. There still is the pact of the avos, because in other words, the pact goes even where the zchuyos no longer are appropriate. They're no longer relevant, right? If Klal Yisrael goes so far away from the avos that they're almost not recognizable as the children of those avos, so that the zchuyos, those merits, can no longer be contributed to them or attributed to them, so then they're done, except for the fact that there was the bris avos, there was a pact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with the avos, right? That Kanemar, like it says, v'zacharti es bris Yaakov v'afes bris Yitzchak v'afes bris Avram. I'll remember, right? This is of course written in the Teichacha, when the going is terrible, right? And I'm going to remember my bris with Yaakov, and even my bris with Yitzchak, and even my bris with Avram, I will remember. V'ha'aretz ezkor, and the land I will remember. So this bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shekaras es Avram, is to get through the terrible times where, you know, we're not necessarily behaving the way we should. We're not really, we're not really fulfilling our side of the commitment. It's actually a very interesting thing, right? We're not really, this was a bris, but it was a bris where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was one-sided bris, actually. We don't really find that Avram, I mean, the Pesukim don't say about anything that Avram accepted upon himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bound himself to Avram, a one-sided bris. You know? So no matter what is going to happen in the future, but Ma'edah Kirishana, whatever happens, I love you so much, I'm going to commit myself to you and all your generations, no matter what happens. It was based on that. It was based on the fact that, yes, Avram, like, you know, earned that love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the end of the day, it's only the pact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did over here, the Bris Bin Avisarim, which we live on.
Isn't the Mila and Bris Hashal Avram Ravina perhaps reciprocal Bris?
Right, that's but I don't think that's in the. That's like right after, huh?
After.
That's right after. Yeah, that's after. So it's not like but part of that. Yeah, that's not. It's true. We did our own bris, but that wasn't part of the bris min habasarim, if I remember correctly from the Pesukim. So, lemaisa, what I wanted to mention two ha'aras, and one of them I've mentioned in the past. I don't know who's heard. Who's heard it or who's not, whatever it is, but I think it's always worth repeating one way or the other. One application of this is, in my eyes, I found, and I always give it one specific example, which is my classic example for myself in my life. What I saw is, you know, sometimes a person has a certain clearness, a certain clarity. You know, it could be you get that clarity on Rosh Hashanah, it could be you get the clarity on Yom Kippur. Could be you get the clarity standing at a kever of a tzaddik. You know, these are all examples of places that I've gotten certain clarity, right? Or it could be just them, you're learning, whatever it is, you get to a certain clarity in a specific point. Maybe it's a larger clarity, maybe, you know, a larger area, maybe it's a small, it's a localized nekuda. So I always say that you should be koveya at that moment, that you are going to act based on that clarity, even when it's going to get fuzzy, because it's going to get fuzzy. At some point, we lose our clarity. You take the three steps back of Shemoneh Esrei, and very soon after that, you don't feel the same, you know. And by the way, it's Kabbalistically that way. Maybe not right away after the three steps, but the Arizal tells us that we reach a certain height in the Shemoneh Esrei, and then those mochin, That's the Lashon in the Arizal, right? That those brain, that brain power, which is like a spiritual energy, a spiritual brain power that the person gets, leaves. And it only leaves behind an impression, a rishimu. So it's not that you did anything wrong, necessarily. Right? That is the way it is. The tefillah that we have is, you know, is a little bit, if again, you have to engage yourself. If you're just davening like a parrot without the heart and mind being there, because obviously we're talking about avodah shebelev. If the tefillah has to be, if the tefillah is being done in avodah shebelev fashion, then what it's really doing is giving you a moment to get to that clarity. Three times a day we have that matana from Hashem that he lets us to tap into something, and then all we're left afterwards is with a rishimu. But that's something, that's a big something. Those rishimos help us grow. So, and in my life, I always use the example. Right after I got married, I moved to the States. It was Aldas. It was on the with the understanding we're going to move back maximum at the end of 3 years. And Baruch Hashem, that was really we left Yud El after the wedding, like after Shabbos or whatever, and we came back on Yud El. That was like it was 3 days to the, but I remember at the time I said, listen, and the truth is I personally had made my decision to live in Eretz Yisrael already in high school. It was interesting, whatever. I got to that like a epiphany of like understanding like this, I don't belong in Chutz Lartz, I belong in Eretz Yisrael, and that's where I'm going to live. And even though I didn't really know what it looked like at all, you know, I was here as a little kid, but I didn't have proper memories, you know. I had some memories, but not. So, and also things changed a lot, you know, over the those years. But I said to myself, I know, especially, you know, you hear from everyone, there's no way you're coming back, right? And it's true, probably statistically speaking, most people that say that, okay, we're just going for a few years, they just don't end up coming back because they get caught into the Venus money trap, instead of the Venus fly trap, the money trap, the physicality trap of America, or Chutz Aretz Bechlal, and they don't come back. So, but I knew that that's the right thing to do for Avodas Hashem, is to be in Eretz Yisrael. There's no question that everyone knows the famous Ramban, the mitzvahs of the Torah are be'ikr in Eretz Yisrael. And in Chutz Aretz, they're only like in the Geder of Hatziv L'Chatziyunim. It's like a practice almost. So they don't have that same strength. It's like you're obligated in them. You know, the obligation is the same, but the power of the mitzvahs is nothing to talk about. It's not they're tailored for Eretz Yisrael. That's where they impact the soul and the world. In the fullest sense in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz Aretz. So, and the tefillah, we know, you know, Chazal tell us somebody lives in Chutz Aretz is like, you know, the tefillah is like Oved Avodah Zarah Betaro. So the Mefarshim explain, you know, his tefillahs are going up like through the sar of whatever nation he's going. Not going in Eretz Yisrael, go straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not giving any little, you know, building up another minister, giving him like a certain chashivas, go straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in all these things, you know, I was very into it, and I said, like, I know when I'm going to go to Chutz Aretz, I know that it's going to rub off. There's going to, that excitement, that love, that feeling of clarity is going to diminish. And it did. There was a lot of, I mean, to an extent, in other words, there was a lot of pull. It was a, you know, I got offered certain, like in a chashev mishpach, like a certain kesher with, I had very, very chashev a kesher with certain rabbanim, then it was very, very difficult, ruchnius wise, to leave. You know, the satan's not stupid. He'll throw you if what speaks to you is ruchnius, he's going to throw you ruchnius reasons. He's not going to throw you the money, you know. Whatever, it depends what you are. So he threw gvaldiga ruchnius reasons to stay in Chutz Aretz, and I said no. Because I remembered this pact that I made, right? It's like a bris. It's a pact. It's like I'm going to be piled in, no matter. That's what I said to myself. No matter what happens, I'm just going to answer without cheshbon, without, you know. I just use this as an example. I think everyone might have had different types of things, and perhaps, I don't know, you know, clarity, and maybe at times we passed, at times we failed. But this is something which I think is learnt out from this Ashakaris is Avram, this Yesod, the idea of a Krisis Bris, is very much this case, is that we reach certain feelings, we reach certain clarities, and we know that at some point we're not going to be there. There, that's where this kicks in. You should make a Kabbalah. A Kabbalah in the sense of a bris, in the sense of a promise that you are going to be piled based, you're going to act based on the way you know is right. You're not going to let the Yetzer throw you the curveballs which are going to derail you from the derech that you know is true. That's one thing I think that's important. Another thing that's important is what you were bringing up and what we spoke about, the Eishes Brisecha, is that you know, we're finding more and more you know, the divorce rate is skyrocketed, and it's a very easy way out, and something I think we have to try to I mean, as a community, we have to, you know, as people involved with other people, if we're involved with ourselves, if it's no get to us, if it's involved to others, it's no get to everyone on some level. We have to realize that a person gets married, no matter what, there was a krisas bris over there that we have to feel committed to the very end. I actually saw a very nice thing just there's a book in English called Teachings by Rabbi Usher Brander from the Rav and Rosh Koil of the Linkoil in L.A. So on this week's parasha in Baal Yischa, he brings down the idea of the free fish, right? Zacharnu sadaga shachalnu mitzray v'chidav. Like, so Rashi says, what do you mean? They weren't given tevin, they weren't given straw, but they were given fish. Ella, so he brings the sifri, it means they were chinam min ha-mitzvahs. Like they just didn't want the mitzvahs. It's like, so he says, you know, Jews don't have a problem with mitzvahs. Jews love doing mitzvahs. What their problem perhaps was, he suggests, is the chinam min ha-mitzvahs, meaning the obligation. The obligation, the fact that it's binding, irrevocable, and everlasting, right? That created the real anxiety, he writes. And he brings down the famous Gemara, Metzuvah Eina Metzuvah Eisa, right? That the Metzuvah Eisa, the one who's commanded and does, is much bigger. Why? Because it's very easy to volunteer things. When you don't feel, he says a very good thing, right? It's very common, right, for the person to say, I am happy to take out the garbage as long as you don't ask me. It's like, I'll do it on my, you know, don't shove it down my throat. And you know, he says like that an optional relationship with Hashem wouldn't work. The very fact that it is binding makes it real. Real relationships neither built with crisis nor wither under the caprice of the moment. Real relationships require constant nurturing and painstaking effort. It is precisely the secure and eternal nature of relationship that allows it to survive and grow. A whimsical and impulsive relationship, in parentheses is a Western marriage, would certainly not survive the vicissitudes of 3,300 years. And that's something which, you know, I think there's a certain hashkafa that's gone. Listen, obviously, we're not talking about, you know, physical abuse, chas shalom, or different types of abuse. That's, you know, I'm not talking chas shalom, not to say that there's never grounds for divorce. But I think there's unquestionably that it's being thrown around way too easily without people feeling the need to work things out and to go for proper therapy, etc., whatever it is. And and this is something which you know, is also, we should be learning here from the idea of the bris, the idea of a commitment, obligation. When we're obligated, we're committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're committed to our families, it's ad hasof, till the end. We gotta try every single thing to you know, fulfill our obligations. And adarabba, that feeling of commitment ultimately breeds the true success and breeds the true relationship. That's right. That, like Rabbi Brander was saying, is that mitzvah v'oisa, that really connects you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is who your life is. I would actually say this in another fashion. Sometimes I will end with this idea that many times in life, we question our decisions after the fact, and we have guilt, we have feelings of regret. And I always say, you have to follow what the instruction was to Lot and his family. Don't look back. You know, the past is the past. If you look back, you'll turn into a pillar of salt. Once it's done, it's done. You are now committed to the current situation. Make the best of it. And you'll be able to make the best of it. You'll be able to build binyan that will blossom, but only if you don't look back. Only if you're committed. If you're not committed, if you're constantly looking back, you're not committed. I shouldn't have made that decision. I shouldn't have, you know, married that one. I shouldn't have. There's so many shouldn't haves we could always point to. No. You made a decision. That's it. It's carved in stone. Weiter gegangen. Now, move on. Don't turn to a pillar of salt. All right. We should be zeicher that we should be always committed to the right things, to the right path. Commit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the families, the Klal Yisrael, and Bez Hashem to see very good payers from that commitment. Okay. Good vach. Anybody have ha'aras or questions? Any of the Zoomers?
Shkoyach.
Okay. Shkoyach to you. All right, so good luck to everyone.